make these kind of decisions, you've got to accept the consequences. You tell your boss you ain't coming, you run the risk of getting fired. You say to your girlfriend that I'm not going to that party with you, you stand the risk of her ostracizing you and cutting you off. But I want to interject something here if I can. Y'all still with me? When you accept Christ for your Savior, and when you decide to come out of the world and change your ways, you ought to change your friends. Can I get a witness here? For the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How on earth can you, young people, serve the Lord and keep your unsaved friend and keep company with your unsaved acquaintances? Because they are going places that you don't go anymore. They are doing things that you don't do anymore. Can I get a witness? They are drinking things that you don't drink anymore. They are smoking stuff that you don't smoke anymore. Can I get a witness here? We need to come out from among them. And when you do that, then you run the risk of being ostracized. When you defy popular opinion. Can I get a witness here? You cannot get a Jew, no matter what you say, to hang a Christmas light on his house during Christmas season. You cannot get one to put up a Christmas candle in his window during Christmas season. But we do all kinds of things. Can I get a witness here? We got Christmas trees in the church. We got jelly beans for Easter all around us. And we hide Easter eggs all in the church. Can I get a witness here? The church has taken on the habits of the world. But you have to sometimes say, no, that my religion won't permit me to do that. Well, if you do that, you can expect your phone is not going to ring like it used to. You can expect to spend some lonely days by yourself. You can expect that your doorbell is not going to ring now, because you have made a conscious decision to walk the high road instead of the low road. But if you have made up in your mind, then whatever they do to you, it won't make any difference anyhow, because you had expected that from the beginning, when the king said to the men, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated before. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not get nervous or surprised, for they firmly knew that that would be their verdict from their action. Well, when they were ordered bound and thrown in the furnace, they didn't run. The king did not have to catch them. They voluntarily turned themselves over to him. And when they bound them, they threw them into the furnace. And the Bible said that he cast them into the fiery furnace. And these men fell down bound in the furnace. Don't pass that over too quick. For when he threw them in the furnace, the Bible said they fell down. But I believe they fell down on their knees in that furnace. I believe they said, Lord, here we are in this fiery furnace, but we're not worried about Nebuchadnezzar's fire, for we believe that you are able to deliver us out of this fire. Can I get a witness? Tell me that the next scene in the furnace, they are walking around in the furnace. They're up now over their knees, walking around in the furnace. Can I get a witness? Yeah! Walking around fellowshipping in that fire. Somebody said, God air conditioned the furnace. But I don't believe that. That furnace was hot by virtue of the fact a man died just by opening the door. But I'll tell you what happened. He gave those boys an asbestos suit to insulate them from the fire. Can I get a witness? The Lord will insulate you from the fire. Can I get a witness? The Lord will insulate you from that fire. When you're in the furnace, he will take care of you. Yeah! When folk get you down, don't let them know you're down. When folk lie on your name, don't come out with a long face. Don't come out with your face, your head down. But comb your hair, go to the beauty shop, put on lipstick, put on a little cheek rouge, put on a little eye mascara, and wipe your weeping eyes, and come on out in the community. And when your enemies say, girl, how you doing? Tell them, fine. If you've been crying all night long, don't let them know you've been crying. Yeah! You gotta have a little discipline while you're in the fire. The Lord will take care of you. Be not dismayed, but every time, oh the Lord, he will take care of you. Can I get a witness here? Don't you know he'll make a way out of no way? I see the king after a while look down in the fiery furnace and look at his man with astonishment. I heard him say, how many did we put in that fire? They said, three, old king, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I see the king say, one, two, three, four. Say, I'm in. on a far away strand.
That's a
is good for the healing of the nation. I heard that it is a land where the water flows clear and crystal. Never grow. It is a land where we'll never grow old. We don't need any more on this side. I don't know about you, but I got my ticket a long time ago. I got my ticket signed in the blood. Down on my knees one Thursday in the Red Hills of Alabama, sitting on the mourner's bench, I told the Lord, if you free my soul, I'll serve you till I die, till I die, till I die. He came through, struck me in the top of my head, ran all the way down to the sole of my feet. I jumped up over that bench. I started crying. I done died one time. Ain't got to die no more. I don't know about you, but I'm on my way to the Canaan land.
You were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As you take your seats, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject. Come out of the salt shaker. Amen. Come out of the salt shaker. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Amen. We have been talking for the past few Sundays about your mission, God's mission for your life. And I hope that all of us understand that we have been placed here on planet Earth, not for our own goodwill only, but we have been placed here so that we might accomplish the will of our Father in heaven. Amen. And so we've been sharing with you that the growth of the kingdom of God is in a real sense dependent upon us fulfilling the mission that the Lord has called us into. Amen. And we all know the Great Commission. Jesus tells us to go into all the world and all the earth and make disciples of men, teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded. That is our commission. And so we all have a mission. Amen. And it is to let others know about the Lord. I told you last Sunday that when we talk about missionary work, most times people think that it's just about sending money somewhere and sending money to dig wells and sending money, amen, to build schools and to build homes. But that is really not the primary goal of missionary work. The primary goal of missionary work is that others might see the love of Christ. Amen. Jesus said, they shall know we are Christians, what? By our love. And so in the psalm that we shared with you a couple of Sundays ago, we called it a psalm of thanksgiving primarily, but also a missionary psalm, because we find the psalmist, and we don't know who the psalmist is, but we find that individual thanking God in anticipation of blessing. Thanking God. See, most of us, we don't choose to thank God until what? Until we have the blessing. But God wants us to have enough faith and trust in him to believe by faith that he's going to bless us. Amen. And when you have that kind of faith and that kind of trust in God, you don't have to wait until you get it to thank him. Tell your neighbor, you can thank him in advance of the blessing. But the reason the psalmist was so excited about the blessings of God is because he saw the blessings of God as a vehicle to win others to God. Amen. Because he said, God, if you bless me, then I can in turn be a blessing to others, and they will in turn, amen, choose to glorify you. That's why the Bible says, let your light, what? So shine before men that they may see your good works, and not glorify you, but glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So today we want to talk about coming out of the salt shaker. Sodium chloride, salt, gets a lot of bad press. It's blamed for everything from hypertension to obesity to heart disease. The need for salt is questioned. Its use is discouraged, and its presence on many tables is often more decorative than anything else. But this was not the case when Jesus announced to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." In the cultural world of the ancient Near East, salt was an essential and valuable commodity. For example, the Roman government often paid their soldiers' wages in salt. Where are my military folk who can thank God you're not being paid in salt? Amen. But they were paid in salt, and a good faithful man was said to be worth his salt. In fact, our English word salary comes from the Latin word salarium, which means to trade or to barter with salt. Salt served a wide array of purposes in the ancient world. Interestingly, scholars have just as many interpretations of what Jesus meant by this statement about salt in Matthew 5 and 13. But of all the possible meanings, I want to focus today on three primary interpretations that I believe deserve our attention. First of all, salt prevents decay. In the ancient East, and you don't even have to go back to the ancient East, some of our parents and grandparents can testify, amen, to the fact that they didn't have refrigerators or freezers. And so to prevent meat from spoiling, they would pack it in salt. The salt would slow down the process of spoiling. That is what it means for Christians to be the salt of the earth. The presence of the saints in the world is a sovereign act of restraining grace. We are the salt of the earth, without which the forces of evil would have little or no resistance in the world. Tell your neighbor, we're the salt. We're the salt.
So salt prevents decay, but secondly, salt promotes thirst. When you intake a lot of salt, you become thirsty. And that is what it means for Christians to be the salt of the earth. We ought to live in such a way that we cause people to be dissatisfied with the passing pleasures of the world. And we ought to live in such a way that it compels them to become thirsty for the living God. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, in the same